The battle continues between workers and employers over work from home. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. It has been more than a year since Google told its workers to come into the office at least 3 days per week. Many still aren't. Now the company will reportedly get tough, basically saying, show up in person or your performance reviews will get dinged. It is the latest effort by corporate America to get workers out of their sweatpants and into the office. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
Google will reportedly start tracking in-office attendance by monitoring employee badge swipes at office buildings. Salesforce, meanwhile, is reportedly trying to coax workers back with a charity donation scheme, promising to give $10 for each day an employee shows up in person between June 12th and 23rd. Will the carrot or stick approach succeed? Many workers who have the flexibility to work from anywhere have settled on working from anywhere but the office. According to Gallup, only 20% of those in remote-capable jobs are now working fully on-site. 64% of those who don't get to work from where they want are thinking about changing jobs. Still, some companies are undeterred. Amazon is now requiring at least 3 days a week in the office. On Wall Street, BlackRock wants people back at least 4 days a week, starting in September. JPMorgan Chase called back its managing directors 5 days a week. Even the White House has gotten involved, directing federal agencies to get more workers back in offices. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
Rishi Sunak is making his first visit to the White House since becoming Britain's prime minister. He'll be meeting with President Biden about Russia's war on Ukraine, economic cooperation, and the rapid rise of artificial intelligence. The world is trying to figure out how to regulate it. And later today, Sunak is expected to announce that Britain will host the first global summit on AI regulation in the fall. He's hoping the U.S. will be a part of that. Stephanie Hare is a researcher and author of Technology is Not Neutral, a short guide to technology ethics.
We've already got the European Union getting ready to vote on the AI Act this month. That's going to be the first really serious piece of legislation anywhere in the world governing AI specifically. The US is taking a different stance, saying right now we've got enough in our existing regulatory toolbox to regulate AI. So you don't have to regulate all use cases of AI at once. You might decide to do an international treaty specifically on the use of AI in warfare, for example, because what you don't want to do is constrain innovation. AI is here. It's happening. We're not going to stop it. The question is more, how do we get our ducks in a row so we prioritize what are the biggest risks and how to protect humans from them?
That's Stephanie Hare speaking with our newsroom partners at the BBC. The U.S. has taken in more than 100,000 refugees from Afghanistan since that country fell to the Taliban in August 2021. The Houston area has been a magnet for many of them, in part because there's a vibrant veterans community there that welcomes them. But many recent Afghan arrivals are in legal limbo here in the U.S., and they're facing a deadline on their status. Congress is considering some bills to deal with this. Houston Public Media's Andrew Schneider has more.
Ismail Amiri entered the Afghan National Military Academy as a cadet in 2014 while the U.S. was still occupying his country. When the government in Kabul fell in 2021, Amiri was in the United Arab Emirates studying to become a pilot in the Afghan Air Force. That assignment may have saved his life, but Amiri says watching Afghanistan collapse was gut-wrenching.
Now we don't have any flag, any government, and we don't know about our future. What will happen tomorrow?
Amiri and other pilot trainees were certain they would be killed if they went home. So an American defense contractor arranged for them to come to the U.S. Amiri eventually landed in Houston and found work as a truck driver. But his dream is still to become a military pilot.
Oh, it is my great ambition. I have become a member of the Air Force of the USA.
Right now, Amiri can't join the U.S. Air Force because he doesn't have a green card. He's technically eligible for something called a Special Immigrant Visa, or SIV. That would let him apply for a green card, but the Kabul government collapsed before he could file all the right paperwork. So instead, he's here on what's called humanitarian parole while he applies for SIV status. Afghan refugees are granted parole for 24 months, but the SIV application process can take up to 34 months.
We were there for 20 years.
Ali Zakaria, an immigration attorney, says the U.S. owes the Afghan refugees a debt.
We asked all of these people to assist us, help us, work with us. And then at the end of the day, they had to essentially get on the wings of an airplane that was about to take off to get away from Taliban.
The Biden administration is calling on Congress to pass legislation that would expedite Afghan applications, but Congress has yet to act. Until they do, the parolees are not only unable to apply for many jobs, but they are also uncertain how long they can stay here. Khalil Arab works for Combined Arms, a Houston-based organization that advocates for veterans. Like Zakaria, he says many parolees risk their lives and the lives of their families to help the U.S.
The least thing that American government can do is to acknowledge that and help them, give them a chance so that they can be a productive member of society here.
Meanwhile, the White House has announced such refugees can apply for an extension of their parole. That will buy them another 24 months to try to apply for permanent residency. In Houston, I'm Andrew Schneider for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.